And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm your host, Dougie Almeida, now from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. I'm joined by my two guests today, two very funny comedians, Mr. Eric Schwartz.
Hello.
And Paul Conyers. What's up, fellas?
What up?
What's going on?
Now, it's great to have you guys here. Like I mentioned before the show, I'm a little bit in the doldrums. I'm dealing with a major injury that I can't walk. I'm walking around like Fred Sanford. Mm-hmm. And my wife is talking about my dog about maybe, you know, put him in out of his misery. So what a great way to start a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
But she wants you to live in misery.
I'm just worried. I'm worried it's going to be me next. You know,
hey, she likes the dog more than you.
Yeah.
You've been limping around this place. They're going to put you down.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So
sorry about that. That's not fun stuff.
You know, the dog is 16 and he looks like he's going through like the mental issues. Like he'll just walk, get off the couch and just sit there and stare at a wall.
Oh man.
And he literally every 10 minutes he pees somewhere. You know, thank God we got wood and, you know, and tile floors for the most part, but in our new house, you know, it's like you're going to have to, you know, picking up piss everywhere.
Yeah. So, I know that's exactly what was happening when we made the decision to put my father down. It was it was a toughie, but we, you know, once the signs are there, there's no going back.
Yeah. Who wants their father peeing all over the living room?
I give you two strikes and you're out on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's horrible because you walk out in the middle of the night, you know, and you're going to get a drink of water or something. You go, oh, you step in, you know, pee in the tile floor. I mean, again, it's tile. You get a thing to lift it up.
Yeah.
But now you got pee on your foot.
You know? I sleep with socks. Ugh. That's even worse.
Yeah. And if you didn't notice, you'd go back into the bed.
Yeah.
Put your pee socks on.
Mm-hmm.
And then your girl's like, what's that smell? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't pee in the bed. Well, you must have. And then it's like,
well, that's a tough story to sell at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I usually just go to sleep and worry about it in the morning. Mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Eric, you and I met at the Off the Hook Comedy Club originally when I was there with somebody. And you were there for the weekend. I think I can remember. It was a Wednesday night. And I think I gave you some financial advice. And then you came down to Florida and did some of our shows.
Yes, for no money. Just kidding. I was just making that as a joke because you gave me financial advice, and then that would have been funny if I did it for no money. But you paid me. You paid me. I'm just saying. I was fascinated by your fiduciary abilities because that's one of my weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so you're not only funny, great on the show, and then I was like, this guy knows how to manage his money. Is this guy an anomaly?
Yeah.
I'll do other stuff that he wants to do. So I followed you and I'm still with you.
Yeah, that's how I found my first few girlfriends. I impressed them with money and then they all went out with me. That didn't last very long though. And then Paul, you and I met at the World Series of Comedy briefly. Yeah. Won the year before, and then last year when you won it. I think we all got drunk, and I think I was giving you karate lessons.
That sounds vaguely familiar. I think I came home with a couple bruises that I couldn't explain.
So, yeah. Like, Paul's like 6'11 or some shit. I don't know. He's tall. And I'm standing next to him like Danny DeVito. And I'm like, grab me by the shirt. Let me show you what I would do.
Yeah. That's like my favorite thing to do when I'm blacked out. I'm like, okay, so what would you do if like I was coming at you like that? Because I have no self-defense skills at all. So I just like to know like how a shorter person would just put me out like real quick.
Yeah. It's always good to know what somebody would do in a situation. And it was funny because, you know, all week, you know, I had COVID back in June. And I was being careful being in Vegas and everything. And so we're hanging out. And I don't think it was late at night that one night after the win, the Saturday night finals. And you and I were close doing this close grab stuff and defensive stuff. Then I hear a couple of days later that he had COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. I caught it out in Vegas. So I don't know. I hope it passed right through you and got to me or I got it afterwards. Don't know. But yeah, I felt bad. I mean, that's the closest I've ever come to, like, you know, making that chlamydia call in college. Like, listen, I hate to tell you, but you need to go get yourself checked. I had to send that to fucking everybody.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You guys are COVID bonded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what happened to me when I caught it. I didn't know I had it. And I did an open mic on a Friday. And next Saturday, my wife woke up and couldn't smell anything. So we went to get tested the next day. So on Monday, like you said, it was like old high school days. Oh, you know, I think I got the clap.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think you gave it to me. You know, then you know.
Yeah, right.
Who gave it to you? Did you give it to her? Did she, you know, you got to find out.
Yeah.
It's rough, you know. And on my end, there was a lot of people because we took a photo. I mean, I was keeping my distance from people. We were even sharing a pipe that I was using the flame. You know, I put the flame to it so no one got sick. But probably people thought I did it on purpose. I was trying to kill the local South Florida comedy scene. I was trying to kill a murderer from showing up at an open mic with COVID, even though I didn't know I have it. And somebody posted this because everybody, there's like 8 comics or 10 comics on this photo from the open mic. And I'm in the middle and like, it's like doomsday photo. But nobody got it. So it's amazing. Have you been COVID free, Eric?
I think so. There's a chance I might've gotten it before the whole thing shut down for like a mild case for like 4 days. I don't know. I got kind of sick. Hmm. I felt real weak, but I slept like most of those days and then I felt better. But the reason I think I might have had it is I was touring with Joe Coy, and then there was a comedian that filled in for me one night that I couldn't go, and he ended up not being able to go on stage because he was so sick. He had a really high fever and he had just gotten back from China. So I don't know if I got the remnants of that or what.
Was he he was at the Wuhan Improv?
Yeah, he was at the the Wuhan, yes.
No, they don't pay well, I hear.
They call that. And so I don't know. If I did get it, I didn't get a bad one. But otherwise, I haven't had anything.
Well, you guys are in California. It's good to see that they're finally getting to the point where they're starting to open things up a little bit.
Finally, we have the lowest COVID rate in the nation.
Yep.
And a budget surplus, supposedly.
Yeah, so, I saw that, man.
Yeah. So we're in good shape, but and just as we're in good shape, I'm coming to Florida and Texas.
That's so right.
Hopefully, I don't set the stats going the other way.
You know, you sometimes you want to look like, so I was asked today on a podcast, somebody else's podcast, because I've been flying a lot, and like, you feel safe flying? I go, yeah, I do. I just point the air that comes out of those jets right at the person sitting next to me. So
I've been doing that for years, buddy. Yeah.
Creating like an air shield
between
me and of course my neighbor. But you guys feel all right? You just recently had it, so you shouldn't feel too bad, Paul. Like, you got the antibody still, I'm sure.
I had it and I didn't feel a thing. I thought it was, I would have totally passed under my radar without my noticing. I just knew if I got back from Vegas and I was hugging like every person in sight on Saturday that I should probably get this checked out. But yeah, then I donated plasma or whatever the Red Cross needs from people that have had COVID. And then they're like, oh, we'll get your antibodies test. And then they told me that I don't have the antibodies. So I don't know. Who knows? Could have been a false positive, and I just got to stay home for 10 days over nothing. Don't know, but I did get the. I got my second dose last week, so
you're feeling vaccinated.
Pretty superhuman at this point. Yeah,
good. You got in the vaccination, Eric?
Yeah, I'm vaxxed, totally vaxxed with the 2 weeks after. So I hit it in the first day that I got back. I was like, hit my 2 weeks. I was like, yes, I got my 2 weeks. I'm finally ready to go. And guess where the first place I was supposed to go? Jury duty. Luckily, I didn't have it. But I had, that's when I was supposed to report for jury duty, and I luckily didn't get it. So
thank goodness. Man, that's a nice welcome back to society. Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're good now? All right, come
perfect.
Do this.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You've got a really long, boring case.
Yeah.
Let's send you to hell's waiting room
with your name on it.
Let you miss your tour. Out of civic duty now.
Right.
We were talking about that. You guys mentioned a club you're going to be at, Eric, in the San Fran area.
College. Oh, yeah. Well, first, my tour kicks off at Tampa Improv, actually, on May 16th. And then I'll be in San Francisco. That's one of the June dates, June 13th. Yeah. June 13th.
But it was a club. It's always nice.
Cobbs.
Yeah, Cobbs. It's always nice. Cobbs. A club that closed during all of it to reopen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think unlike Florida, all the clubs closed in California. And maybe some of them had some outdoor shows. And some of them are still, or the, a lot of them are still having the outdoor shows and
yes,
limited indoor shows.
So you guys can do the outdoor shows in California because it's dry and it's nice. But in Florida, outdoor shows are horrible.
Yeah.
As a booker.
Unpredictable.
And a booker and a producer, they're like a few times people are like, hey, I want to do an outdoor venue. I'm like, no, I don't do them. They're like, why not? I'm like, we're in Florida, you know, and I don't want to have to ask somebody to do shows on the summertime in July when it's like 90 degrees and 110% humidity.
Right, right.
You know, we might as well have a pool party show. You know, that's the only way I'm going to have to be on stage. What are some of the things, any little thing when you guys are on stage that you, I mean, you guys aren't divas, you know, but is there anything that you particularly get a little upset with if it's not right to your liking when it comes to being on stage?
I've been through boot camp, dude. I did the Vans Warp Tour in 2015. There were like 10 hard rock stages blaring and you could barely hear yourself talk. So I don't think anything could be harder conditions than not even being able to hear yourself. But it was weird. What I've realized is that if people want the comedy, then it's going to come, it's going to work somehow. It shouldn't have worked at the Warp Tour, but it did. So this stuff's like, I've done everything that the pandemic, except for Zoom shows, has, you know, the outdoor shows are, I've done tons of those already. So
what's your,
Paul? What's your annoyance on the outdoor show?
Well, I just did one at a brewery last week. He actually right like down the street. It's always fun when you don't have to go far. And but there was like a taco truck right next to the brewery. And I don't know what, I'm not a sound person, but I know that like the feedback happens when the mic is right next to the speaker or whatever. And that's how they were announcing their orders. So you'd be like, order 41111111. And it was a busy food truck. And so it was just like, every time you're like, okay, I'm working on this setup. Like, and that guy looks like he's putting the salsa on. I think they're about to announce, and there it is. Okay. And you just had to kind of wait for that. Yeah, I don't know. I think I've grown so much as a comic in just in the last year, just of everything that you have to deal with. I mean, you know, literal car, like cars literally driving by between you and the show. I mean, the sidewalk shows in San Francisco where it's like you're like in the window of the building and then the people are like outside on the street. And then there's a sidewalk with, you know, psychotic San Francisco people walking through. I mean, you know, yeah, you get thicker skin pretty quickly. So it's been great, honestly.
So you think COVID kind of strengthened most comics?
Yeah, if you're not
I think
if you were adaptable and you kind of took it, you know, and for what it was, you know, I mean, I've got so many comic friends like I did one Zoom show. Forget that. I was like, okay, well, you didn't learn how to get good at virtual comedy, which is too bad because you might have to get good at it again someday. But like, yeah, the outdoor shows, I mean, you know, when you're performing, like Eric, have you guys done like the noise canceling headphones?
Those shows? That would be awesome though.
Oh yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, they're not really noise canceling. They say they are, but I mean, like if some like jerk is like ripping by in his Dodge Ram, like you're going to hear it. But again, it's just like, you know, you learn to adjust and you have fun with it and stuff. And I mean, you know, I like all that chaotic stuff. So I'm going to miss when it's actually back indoors and controlled and I'm actually performing well.
Kind of fun because it gives you stuff, you know, like we're always on a tightrope on with comedy. And when somebody's shaking it, the tightrope.
Yeah, right.
You have to come up with something and like to stay on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of fun. But the thing that I don't like is when people do it on purpose. They're like, oh, we're going to make the show better.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
There's a lady that is, has come to a lot of my shows that has the most fake laugh, annoying. She somehow got it voted like the best laugh of some competition. And so now she feels obliged to use
it
and to let everyone hear this beautiful laugh. And I've told her during shows, like, you're doing this on purpose just for attention. It's disrespect. I think that's disrespectful.
It is.
Passive aggressive heckling.
It is. Yeah. It's like, you know, that I think, you know, they're like, those are like the helpers, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, those guys are like one step below, but that's like even more annoying than a helper because it's like, oh, I'm just laughing. No big deal. But it's like, nah, you're trying to make yourself part of the show.
Yeah. When the disruptions are not genuine, that's when you're like they're forced.
Right.
It's like, you have to address the non-genuine part of it before you can address the disruption.
Uh-huh.
You
know? Yeah, that's irritating.
That's interesting. You have any real bad heckler experiences besides this cackling hen?
I can tell you how bad it got with her. On my first comedy special that I shot in 2013, she came to that. I didn't know she was coming.
Oh, geez.
She must have sat right underneath the microphone. I didn't hear her during the show because the place was full and, you know, she got drowned out. But then when we went to edit, we heard her all throughout my special. And we had to cut her out. I counted it. You can hear her still in some parts of it, but it sounded okay. But where it sounded fake, we cut her out 13 times.
Oh.
And like just to make it sound natural.
Right. Cause you're going to get accused of like sweetening it. Right.
Yeah. 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 Why did he put this fake laugh in? So we actually had to put the fake laugh in to make it sound real.
God.
And that day that I shot, I had a spot at the Long Beach Laugh Factory and I went down there and I got there after the show started. So it was already going on. And what do I hear? I hear, I go, you fucking came to this show that day. And I unloaded on her. I was like, I dropped to my knees. And I was like, what do I have to do to deserve this? she still is coming to my shows. I can't get her to not like me.
Yeah.
No matter what I do, I guess.
Well, maybe you should go to her house and piss all over her floors like my dog does.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right. Like, hey, maybe you don't have to put your dog down. Maybe somebody
who likes that.
Really nice laugh.
Yeah.
An award-winning laugh will adopt her.
Absolutely. How about you, Paul? Anything comes to mind?
When I was, I my home club is Laughs Unlimited in downtown Sacramento, and I was doing the outdoor show. And me and Jenny, the owner, were just kind of hanging out. She was checking in people's driver's license to give them the headphones and stuff. And this couple, you could just tell, like, you know, when someone's like, all right, they're going to be a problem, like the entire show. And, you know, they were just like super, super white trash. And they didn't have like a driver's license. And so Jenny was like trying to be funny about like what else you can use. She's like, I just need collateral. It could be like a credit card. It could be your keys. And she was like, it could be your firstborn, you know, whatever. Just trying to be lighthearted about the whole thing. And the guy was like, he's like, oh man, no way. I'm going to get one of my kids, man. I got 13 kids. And my wife likes to point out that like I do a terrible impression of this guy because I can't do white trash. Apparently I can just do like ghetto. But anyway, you get the idea. And anyway, so this guy had like, he had all like 13 of his kids' names tattooed on his face. Oh. And they sat like, you know, it's outdoor seating. So it's a lot of it's kind of hodgepodge. Okay. You know, we're trying to work with what we can. So they were like actually on the deck of the comedy club, kind of like just stage left to me. So, and they were just like, blah, blah, blah. And I do this bit where I ask if anyone has any kids. And then I kind of go in about, you know, I don't have kids and why it's so much better. And I mean, the guy was, oh man, no way, man. I love my kids, man, everything to me, man. I got tattoos, like just repeating his whole thing. And I was like, you have tattoos of your kids' names on your face? And he was like, yeah, man. I was like, huh, isn't that like, I thought they said you're not supposed to get tattoos of names. Cause like, what if it, you know, what if it doesn't last? And he didn't find that funny at all. He got very upset and ended up leaving. And it's different when you leave like a comedy show outside because you had to like walk across the boardwalk to storm out. But you know, I don't know. I feel like these shows are like performing with like filters on, and you know, it's like performing. It's like working out with like a weighted vest. And you know, if you can do it like you know, if you're getting like okay laughs in a situation like that, then you're like, all right, when it's back into like an insulated controlled environment, it's probably gonna, you know, you're probably gonna do very well. So I don't mind the extra baggage.
Absolutely. It is much better. Mm-hmm. Speaking of being inside, I don't know if you guys caught Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live this weekend, but I mean, you guys are aware of the show Saturday Night Live, which are comedians.
I am.
Which, you know, many comedians try to get on that show, right? I mean, you want to get a spot on that show. Mm-hmm. And I understand that some of the cast didn't want to be on with Elon Musk, which I thought was interesting. I guess he's a billionaire, and I guess they didn't like him for that. I don't know if you guys followed that, but I mean, I'd love to be on a show with a guy who's probably one of the most iconic people of our time.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, to get like the stories out of it. Because I mean, first of all, they all showed up the week that Trump hosted. So I mean, I don't know like what their big deal with like eccentric billionaires this time around is, but I mean, they just stick. You get great story. Like, hey, have you heard Mulaney's stories about, you know, like Keith Richards and or just like Davidson talking about Trump and how the guy like cannot read. I mean, you know, stick around and get some weird stories to tell about the guy. And that's what I would have done.
Make the best of it.
Yeah.
I thought he's definitely a relevant figure. He's not an entertainer. I think that's, I don't know what was, the, why did people not want, why did the cast members?
Yeah, what's the deal?
What was the problem?
I guess because of his association with the Republican Party. They didn't know if it, maybe also because he, you know, he left California for Texas, moved and stuff, and who knows? But, you know, I mean, listen, now we know, now we at least know this. If you want to be on Saturday Night Live, you have to be a funny comic who does voices and characters or invent an electric vehicle and build a rocket.
Yeah.
That's all the qualifications are to be on that goddamn show. I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time. I just watched the clips of him, and I thought it was very funny. You know, obviously somebody wrote for him.
He had a monster joke in the monologue. I was watching part of the monologue, and what was the joke? I can't remember, but I generally LOL'd at one part. But you know, he had somebody write that. Unless he's also a genius writer, then we don't know about, you know.
I'm sure he had somebody write. Somebody asked me that this past week if I write all my own material. And I know it wasn't like, you know, somebody who's being a smart ass may think you're a joke thief, right? But I mean, this was just an honest question because I guess they had heard the old stories, you know, when comics like Rodney'd buy a joke, you know, and stuff like that. You know, people who buy jokes. Do people ever offer you jokes?
I think like your comic buddies, we sit around and we go, oh, it would be funny if you did this. We tag each other stuff up. That's I think the most valuable feedback you get. But yeah, people always do that. They want to help. They want to. It's easy to take it as an offense. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, of course I write my own material. What do you think I'm like, what do you think I'm buying my, I'm just a puppet. Like, but what they just want to have that conversation. That they're interested in comedy, that they know the old school used to be like that more, you know, where people would have writers for their stage shows more often. And, you know, I just think people, it's just, they just don't know. And then it's, they're not trying to offend you or they're not trying to accuse you of not being original or not writing, or maybe they're just so amazed that one person could come up with all that stuff. Like, you can think about it so many different ways. Like,
I honestly think that's closer to it. I think most people just like, they just genuinely don't know almost anything about stand-up comedy. Yeah. I mean, like 90% of the people that are going to go to a club, you know, like Cobbs is reopening, like 90, like most of those people that are going to see Brian Posehn next week are like, we have to get there at 8 o'clock because Brian Posehn is going to be on at 8 o'clock. They don't even know. I mean, that's why, you know, when you're the opener, you should establish the fact that I'm going to be your first comic of the evening. Or are you, you know, like, cause most people are like, what is this guy, like the manager of the club or something? I just think it's like, it's just a symptom of that. Like, people just don't know like how comedy works. You know, they're like, you know, I've had like family members, like, how did you memorize all of that stuff? And it's like, you know, I just, it's, I mean, I don't take it as like, an insult. I mean, the most annoyed I'll get is, yeah, when someone knows I do comedy is like, you know, I've got a joke for you. And they're great 100% of the time. Guys, keep them coming.
Yeah. I want them to be great once. You know?
I do too. I'm so like, badly. Oh, thank
you. I didn't have to do the work.
Yeah. But
they're always like, why would you think I would do that?
Right, right. Well, that, and that's, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's like the number one reason why you try to like, yeah, you don't, you're careful you tell people you're a comedian too.
Yeah, I
remember one time the people that I used to go to the dog, I used to go to the same dog park every Saturday, and they found out I do comedy. And so like, they were just this old woman was just like, I've got a joke for you. And she was like, I was in Safeway. And it was, I don't remember what the joke was, but it was supposed to be about how the prices on the shelves don't match up with the coupons. And I was like, this is a riot, but you know, I just, you know, I'm not really a grocery store humorist. It's not really my yeah, type. I can't get away with it.
They always think you're trying to come up with an angle on everything that they feel like you're analyzing them all the time. Mm-hmm.
Get that a lot, right? When somebody finds out you're a comic, I hope I don't want to be in your act now. Yeah. I'm like, no, don't you're not.
That one of your skits.
Yeah. Speaking of skits, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates are getting divorced, which had a flood of memes. You know, that's the kind of thing that just generates memes. And I had fun with it. You know, I basically posted and got a lot of likes on my little joke. And it, you know, I think sometimes people say, oh, you're going to tell a hacky joke about, why not? I mean, it's social media. I'm just,
yeah.
I saw the news and I wrote, I guess Melinda is tired of getting injections from Bill or getting injections, right? I mean,
yeah, I like that.
Right? Wait, do you write your own material?
Some lady I met in a Safeway.
She's a laugh a minute.
Did you guys have any Bill Melinda divorce jokes?
Before I could even like, I just went on Twitter and I just saw everyone was doing such great jokes. And I'm like, the clippy thing. I don't know if I can come up with anything better than who gets clippy.
Yeah, I know.
I like the vaccination angle too, but I didn't pursue it.
Who's clippy? I don't even know.
He's the little assistant in Microsoft Word that pops up. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And he's been like used in some great jokes over the years, but he's sort of like faded from obscurity. So the fact that he gets to come back and have his day in the sun for that joke, I mean, I just thought was wonderful.
Yeah, that is funny. You know,
he drafted the divorce papers in Mac pages.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I guess
that's why I didn't do one.
I just read some newer news about it that I guess that she wanted to file for divorce a year, like in 2019, because of his interactions with Jeffrey Epstein and his trips to what do they call that? The pedophile island.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that he supposedly befriended him after all that stuff came out.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. Like now that he's this like criminal, he's like, hey, I'm reaching out to you on
Instagram. That's not good optics.
Now, don't you guys think there's got to be a trove of evidence of video in that place? You don't think a guy like Jeffrey Epstein didn't video the actions in that sex dungeon? And that, you know, I mean, there's got to be a trove of evidence of really powerful people that Maxine Jazz Gaswell, whatever his partner was, has, because we haven't heard much about that. And they said some of the things that have happened politically in the last year have something to do with that as well. Like even now with that story, like there might be stuff on Bill Gates, you know, and like Tom Hanks and these people, you know, John Legend and Christy Teigen, all these Hollywood.
I haven't heard any of that. I think Tom Hanks would be too much for the nation to handle. I think we all deserve to have truth. But if I like had the one piece of evidence of like Tom Hanks was on Pedophile Island, I think I would go Alfred in Dark Knight and I'd burn that letter. And I would just like, the truth needs to die because he's the hero. He's the hero that we deserve, but that's not what we need right now. That'd be too much.
Pedophile Island, that would kill volleyball sales for sure.
Exactly. Another thing that happened recently, the Chinese had sent up a huge rocket about the size of a skyscraper. They are building their space lab module. So they're sent one up a year ago or something like that. And this one, now NASA is pissed. President Biden isn't pissed, hasn't said anything to China. But NASA's pissed because this big old huge rocket went up and they had no idea where it was going to come down at. So you guys could have been sitting there doing an outside show.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're dealing with some fucking lady laughing, you know, or some guy with tattoos on his face. Next thing you know, you got, you know, Chinese space junk landing in the audience.
Those two.
That sounds like what will be the great opening for what will be the next Michael Bay vehicle. I just think it's going to be an outdoor comedy show and just some bits of a skyscraper is just going to, a rocket just going to land in the audience, kill a couple people. And then we got to get Billy Bob Thornton on the line and we've got to send up Bruce Willis all over again.
Yeah.
Kind of just chill out for a couple years. Like, hey, the virus came, have we established that the virus came out of China?
I think that's a fact. Yeah. Or I don't ever take me for that, but I think so, as far as I know.
Yeah, we know it came out of China. The question was it purposely released? Was it, you know, they're still debating on whether it came from a bat or it was released negligence in the Wuhan clinic, which is right next to the Wuhan Improv. Wants to get double tickets for both venues.
I had my audition in February of 2020 scheduled, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah, it's like, what? There's no flights?
Yeah.
Here they're having Zoom auditions.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, you know, speaking of that, you know, we had that other thing where they hacked into that pipeline, the Colonial Pipeline up north. I don't know if you saw that story, which there's a pipeline that feeds gas, all kinds of oils and stuff to most of the eastern seaboard. And they got malwared and they had to shut down the actual pipe. So actually, Joel Pace, who's from Comedy Zone, just posted on Facebook that people are starting to freak out. There's long lines now for gas because there's going to be a shortage. The pipeline's been closed. So eventually, you're probably going, there won't be any gas here, and which is great because I'm about to drive from Florida to South Carolina in a couple of weeks. Yeah. And I may have to
not anymore. You're not.
Yeah, I might be pushing my car with my bad.
Yeah.
What did you call it? My
SOAS.
My SOAS.
SOAS.
SOAS, that sounds like a lazy SOAS.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the Colonial Pipeline Company and now gas shortages. You guys prefer driving or flying to gigs?
Depends on how far.
Yeah, I can be a prima donna. I mean, I'm not going to drive across country, but I mean, if it's within like 4 or 5 hours, I don't mind driving.
4 or 5 hour time limit? Anything over 4 hours?
Yeah, I'd say so. Or if I have enough notice, like if I'm going down to LA or San Diego or something, I've driven to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather drive sometimes because taking all your stuff with you, you know, especially you got a lot of merch, like your boy got a lot of merch.
Yeah.
You can bring an unlimited amount of merch that you can fit in your car.
Good point.
You know,
that is, and you're right. I like that. I like the independence of having my car. Right.
Yeah.
All my stuff in it and, you know, come and go as I please. It's always good. Now, also in the news, I don't know if you guys follow horse racing, but we had the Kentucky Derby.
Religiously.
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah. You got a derby hat? Is that your derby hat?
That's my derby hat. Right. That's my favorite jockey holding up the trophy from the Preakness last year.
Oh, he's not joking.
That's a tall jockey, man.
Maybe he is joking. I don't know anything about sports. I don't know if that's a jockey.
that is a baseball player. Don't
I was going to say his arms look way too thick to be a jockey.
Yeah,
he really likes
that's
to hold those.
That's why it was a big moment. He defeated all the odds. He's 230 pounds.
Oh yeah. Man.
Yeah, and they had to shoot the horse.
He was done.
He was done, and he probably pissed on the floor as well.
But
Medina Spirit, who won it, the Kentucky Derby, fails a drug test, much like I did. So I have something in common with a thoroughbred horse. You guys bet? You ever do any type of racehorse betting? You guys bettors? You gamblers?
I don't know if that's a good investment. So, you know, my fiduciary told me by 10% away and just forget about it. So
yeah.
I don't gamble. I'm the worst gambler, but you know, a friend of mine who does gamble says that he can affect it through his like his attitude toward it. Like if he's having fun, then the money comes to him and he wins if he's just like a free spirit. But right. I'm all nervous about it and that's why I lose. So he made me feel bad about it.
I think
I don't know.
I think that's true. I think that's true. Like that happens at the blackjack table a lot when I'm playing. If I start getting frustrated, you know, especially if you start losing.
Yeah.
Like when I was at the Laugh Factory a few weeks ago in Vegas, you know, I played, I was down like $200 or $300. I'm like, oh, you know, and then I'm going to go back and play again. And I ended up being up a few $100. But that's like the same as going on stage, right? I mean, you could, if you're feeling good and in a good mood, you know, that's going to be an awesome set. But if you got shit on your mind and you're trapped, you know, right. Anything just bothering you, it just really affects you, right?
I don't to give the impression that like a bunch of gambling addicts can try stand up with just a good attitude. I want that squashed immediately.
To me, one is like a predetermined, you know, the gambling is a predetermined set of odds that you have. Nothing you do is going to affect it, right? But if you're doing stand up, then your attitude can totally affect how you perform. But I don't know. Have you guys had that where your attitude does affect your gambling?
Oh, I have. I've had, you know, I mean, poker's a game that you got to have some
skill in there.
Yeah, you got, you know, but I've definitely noticed like when I start, if you start getting aggravated, you know, like you talk about hecklers and stuff, you know, I've had shows where, you know, you're trying to deal with it, you're dealing with a heckler in every way you can, and it's maybe the club doesn't decide to throw them out and you're dealing with it, and it just affected my, you know, it went from being professional to being mean, which you never.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're like, ugh, you know, you just. I always tell this story. I was in Daytona once, which is known for being like lawless when it comes to comedy. And this one guy was interruptive. Like you know, the kind of person that talks out on your setup. It's not just they say things, but they constantly say things and disrupt the flow. And I did everything. I had the crowd all turn around and tell them to shut the hell up. And, you know, I did all these things. You try to get the crowd against the guy. Mm-hmm. And then 25 minutes into it, I go, you know what, dude, you are an asshole. I'm going to go after this show. I'm going to go down there and kick you in the fucking head. You know, you deserve, you know, you just need to be thrown off this building. And the guy goes, the guy stands up and goes, good, I'll take my fake leg off then. And,
oh God, he was just waiting for that.
Oh,
one.
Now he tells you. He has
yeah,
a fake
exactly.
Leg. Yeah. And while I was sitting up there with the shit look on my face, some guy in the back screams, sweep the leg, Dougie. of course that happens. Other big things in the news, job numbers came out this week. As a fiduciary, I'm aware of these type of things, economic news, but they were expecting 1 million new jobs and they got 225,000 new jobs. Some people are saying it's because people are collecting all that government money and sitting at home. Do you guys know anybody who's collecting Social Security or unemployment benefits and just sitting at home doing nothing?
I do.
Yes.
Yes, I do. I know several people that are doing that right now, and their attitudes vary. It's a real spectrum of the American experience. Some people are like, yeah, I'm taking these, you know, I'm taking classes, I'm switching things up, I'm going to get back to being a productive member of society. Some people are like, oh, when it runs out, it runs out. And some people are like, we need like to get a second, we need to get COVID-21 up and running immediately because I'm never going back to work. This is too easy. So I see all sides of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a variety, but I mean, I got assistance. I got the PPP loan. But I'd love to be working. I mean, I'm finally going back to work and I'm excited. So I'm kind of in the middle there, I guess. I got some assistance.
That's good that you got the PPP loan because that's not hard. That's hard to get. I mean, you have to go through a process and get it, and you have to have a business with numbers, you know, that justify it. And it is. It's like, right. It was easy. You know, it's like I work from house. You know, I work from my home. I wouldn't go into my office. You get kind of used to sitting in around the house. You know, you're like, oh, this is a little too convenient, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I worked hard. Like I dug in. Like, I think that my reaction to the pandemic was because I had great momentum going into it. And I'm like, I am not going to let this thing beat me. And I just dug in and I worked, I released so much content and didn't get paid anything for it. So I kind of earned the money, I feel like, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I can't fade away. Nah, not after all this, you know.
Mm-hmm. You did a great job with that. You were putting out a lot of different stuff and music videos and all kinds of different things, and it was awesome. And that's the thing that is impressive with comics, because they didn't, you know, they would always put something out. You know, just put, you got to put something out there to be creative, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's good for something like that. You're right. It's good when somebody does that. If they're going to take that opportunity, take that money and then go to school or learn something is like to help for that, use that as a transition period, right? To be able to get in there while some people are just sitting there going, I'm going to milk this as long as I possibly can. Pass me the Oreos.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. Exactly. All right. Well, you know, this is the part of the show where we have, we talk about the news and other news stories that we think are somewhat funny. And it's your guys' jobs as comedians that even if it's from the story itself or the headline to come up with a joke, whether you're a topical comedian or not. And I sent you guys an outline, so you guys had the opportunity to do some homework. But
yikes!
Did you do the homework, Eric? Because I did not. I'm looking at this stuff for the first time.
Hey, dude, show me your answers.
All right. Show me your answers, dude. For number one, I got Luis Rivera died at the scene. His relative left a 2009 silver Chevrolet Malibu and could be going to Laredo.
Oh yeah.
I'll read the headline. Customer.
Yeah, why don't you start with that?
I said he's in Matamoros. That's what I said. He's in Matamoros, which is right across the border from Laredo. I know that because I've been there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, that is good fundamental research going on.
I think. Let me check that. I got to fact check that.
Customer beating man with a gun at a bar accidentally kills own relative. Yeah, that's a bad sequence of, La Barra.
That's a couple crimes in one.
Yeah, it definitely is. That's too much old school Batman with just the hitting with the gun, man. Just either kick him or shoot him.
A man accidentally killed by a bullet from his relative's gun when a bar fight broke out in Texas. We all know that can happen.
Sounds about right.
Sheriff's office said two men began fighting on Sunday night at Micheladas La Barra in Houston area.
One of the men began
beating the other with a gun, and it fired a shot. Now, you know, if you have a gun, you know, and it's not a hammer, you know, it's not a billy club, it's a gun.
Yeah.
And if you're going to pull out a gun, see, that's a bad move, because if you pull out a gun and you hit somebody with it, they can grab it from you and shoot you with it. So,
yeah,
I mean, I get it's nice that his attempt at de-escalating the situation. I got this gun. I'll pound you in the head with it.
I you know what? That's crazy, because like anytime that I would hear someone got hit with a gun, I would be like, because that happened to me. I got held up at gunpoint. They put me down on the ground, my face down, and he was like looking for something I didn't have, and he hit me in the back of the head with the gun. And the moment that happened, I was like, this is a fake gun. There's no, like, he would have just, why wouldn't he just shoot me? Like, what am I going to get three chances here? Like, I've been had. I didn't get up because I wasn't sure, but I was like, I'm 80% sure this gun is fake.
That was interesting. Yeah. So he pistol whips you with it.
Yeah.
In other words, you can tell by maybe the echo of the sound or the
shot. It felt plasticky to me.
Yeah.
Like it didn't leave the welt. Like the welt. Yeah. I thought I felt like a Nerf thing, but no, it didn't leave like the welt that I think like a metal gun would leave. It was very mild.
It left a brand in your skin that said Mattel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was Mattel backwards.
I mean, the gun was green, but who knows?
Yeah.
and it had
looked like an emoji, a gun emoji.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I recognized it from my keyboard.
Yeah.
The gun was 8 rounds of felt darts I'll put in the back of your head, scumbag.
You gave him Monopoly money, and then you're like, hey, you should have had a real gun, asshole.
You're right. It was loaded. It had a suction cup dart in it.
Yeah, they robbed me when they took an ATM card that literally had $4 on it. So I was like, you know, buddy, you rob a college student, you're going to get what you pay for.
Now,
did he have the pin?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he got anything out of it. He got a Harry Potter wallet and a debit card with like a few bucks on it. So. Good for you, pal. Hope you spend it wisely.
Oh, by the way, I have to share this. I forgot to share this with you earlier. I haven't fallen for an April Fool's joke in years, probably since high school or middle school. But this year I kind of fell for one that involved Paul. There was a World Series of Comedy posted something about him having to lose his title
because
of something. And I started reading this, like, what the fuck? And I should have kept reading it like everybody else, and they would have figured it out. But I called Joe Lowers, the head of it, and I go, what the fuck?
Called him? Oh my God, that's awesome.
So he started laughing at me. I'm like, what? And I go, he goes, oh, what happened? What the fuck? Why would they do? He goes, dude. He look, oh fuck, it's April 1st.
But you know what? Paul, that's how you know he likes you. He really truly likes you. He called on your behalf and said, this is not fair.
Yeah.
Standing up for my friend Paul. That's a sweet move, Dougie.
That is a sweet, incredibly stupid move. Because if you just read the damn article, but it's very sweet.
I would have done the same thing, Dougie.
Yeah, was it sweet enough to have you pick me to open for you at some point? That's
yeah, why not? I mean,
that one hurt.
If I can open for Eric, then yeah, I mean, we'll just work it right down the line, you know.
There we go. Everybody helps each other.
Yeah.
Speaking of helping each other, porn, alcohol were part of student sleepovers at lunch lady's house in Louisiana. Now, my memory or recollection of lunch ladies in my school was not that they were very attractive.
Yeah.
To me, lunch lady stood out on this one.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's why she had to entice them with porn and alcohol. But the story was also
not for nothing, but like, what kind of lunch lady can afford a house?
Right.
Teens drank alcohol and watched pornographic movies during overnight parties hosted by a school cafeteria worker.
And also, like, the relationship that you have with the lunch lady isn't usually like, you don't get to, hey, come over to my house. Like, it's just like, do you want this dish?
Yes.
Like, how did they develop? That's what I was like, how did they develop this kind of relationship with the lunch lady? And I mean,
I think it starts alcohol
to a teenage boy. Then that's a good opener.
It's quite a grooming period process, I'm sure.
I'm sure the courting began when the guy got some extra mashed potatoes.
Yep, exactly.
And then she stuck a sausage right in it and says, hey, let's talk.
Yeah, you like sausages? She's 38 years old and charged Friday with multiple counts of indecent behavior contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
I wonder how the food is at her house, though. Like, I always hated lunch, like, maybe she's really good cook, like, on her off time, maybe. But really, porn and alcohol, they just could eat Doritos.
I was wondering if they had that really crappy school pizza.
Yeah. What was with that? It was like no other pizza.
Yeah, before or since.
It was like drywall. With a little bit of some sort of sauce, and like green or like orange cheese.
But you guys, did you guys have cornmeal on the bottom of yours? You know what I mean? Like it was like a pizza that was like not pizza dough. It was like a bread.
It wasn't dough. It was just that kind of mashed bread.
With like a gritty cornmeal on the bottom. No, or did you guys not have that?
No, that sounds a lot like what we had in elementary school for sure. I mean, you think it wouldn't take, like, pizza day sounds like the only two words you need to get like third graders excited. But for us, I'm like, I'm bringing cold lunch today. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
I'm bringing some bologna.
Yeah. Mm. I think that pizza would have kept those children away from her house. Honestly, if she had had that, they would have been like, no, this is not for me.
Pizza. No. Did you guys also have the toppings on? They called ours the little sausages. They were like little sausages like that, and they called them little smokies. Did you guys have the same thing, or was that just a Southern California thing? No?
I think you guys are spoiled in Southern California. We just had the terrible cheese.
There would be literally one slice of pepperoni in the middle of the square of pizza.
Yeah, was it? Why wasn't it ever a triangle pizza?
I think because they take it out of the baking sheet because they don't give a shit about process or tradition or just evenly baked food.
Yeah, there's no time for that.
No.
You know. Well, that's good.
I'm just going to say if a lunch lady is making enough money at our private school to afford a house, she better be feeding my kid porn and alcohol. That's the least they could do, because that sounds expensive.
I mean, that's a learning experience. Those kids have a life story. You know what
Absolutely
I mean?
They do.
if they're on a podcast, can you imagine that story?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I want him as a guest right now. I'll leave. Yeah. I just want to listen.
Guess you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what attracted you to the lunch lady? You know, she said
hairnet.
Dirty movie. Hairnet. Yeah, sexy hairnet.
Yeah.
And that white outfit she wore was sexy. By the way, speaking of food, and I mentioned sandwiches, what's your favorite sandwich?
Oh, man. I'm going to call mine Thanksgiving sandwich.
Leftover turkey?
Well, it doesn't have to be on Thanksgiving, but it's, you know, the bread, but it has all, you know, all the fixings of Thanksgiving. And what makes it is the cranberry sauce, you know, put stuffing in there.
Mm.
But I mean, I like a good turkey sandwich with, like, you know, avocado too. So really, like, something healthy and hearty is what I like.
I was at Subway because I had to, and they had the turkey wrap, avocado, turkey bacon, avocado wrap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm like, okay, I like it. And then the guy starts making the sandwich. I'm like, where's the avocado? He's like, we ran out, which, again, I talked about gas, but there's a lot of food shortages that are hitting as well. And there's a short avocado is hard to get. And I'm like, well, then you got to take money off that price of the sandwich because avocado, you know what I mean? The avocado is a big part of that pricing on that sandwich. And the kid's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, dude, you made my sandwich. He's like, well, I didn't know. I go, well, you're supposed to know the fucking menu. You know, it's one of the top three sandwiches on the list. I don't know.
You're asking for too much from a Subway employee.
I know. Listen, if that guy's a Subway sandwich artist, I'm an Olympic pole vaulter.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think the title's a little sandwich artist.
Yeah, it's a little cocky.
Yeah, a little cocky.
That's how they get away with paying them what they pay them. Is they say you're an artist. That's
on your resume. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting you should say that. You brought up a good subject. The minimum wage, $15.
See? Yes.
You think $15? You think people that do those types of jobs are warranted $15 an hour?
I think it depends on where you are, though. Like in LA and New York and the big cities, 15 isn't that much. But there might be some other markets, some other cities where 15 is a lot, you know, it's like, you know, so I think it depends, but yeah, I don't know. It just depends on the situation to me.
I agree. And it depends on if you're from an area that I think I'm better than. If you are, then yes, 15 is fair.
Yeah.
But if not, you know, come on, man, get a real job.
And it is true though. Like they would try to pass something on a nationwide scale, but like, you're right. There's certain parts of the country where that you don't need that kind of money.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. How can a home price in San Francisco, right, is like millions and millions of dollars, but in the middle of Arkansas, you can get something for maybe $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
now you live in that area, Paul, in San Francisco area?
I'm in the East Bay. So yeah, I'm like 40 minutes from the city. And you know, so Oakland's getting like to be just as gentrified and expensive as San Francisco. And so it's all kind of bleeding out in all directions. So it'll hit us at some point. I mean, it's super expensive, but not anything close to what it's like in San Francisco.
Yeah. I heard it's brutal.
God, it's insane. You can go online on Zillow and you can look at like $1.3 million houses and they are, I mean, like you swear it's a typo. Like they're just, like shanties basically, but they're like right on Mission, so you gotta have it.
Yeah, location.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's the hottest housing market in the country right now, surprisingly, is Fresno, California.
Really?
It's the like fastest rising one.
Huh.
Not the most expensive. But this is known as Dougie, I don't know if you know, but like Fresno it's in the Central Valley. It's not bad, like a bad area, but it's not like known as a nice, you know, upscale where you would think that would be the top housing market in the country. It's very like, you know, there's a lot of farms out there but I guess it's because they have more affordable housing that everyone's going there. It's a nice community. But anyway, I made a song about Fresno. I think I was ahead of my time. Yeah.
You're a soothsayer. But I loved it. Everybody's coming to Florida. I heard there was an area in Tampa that was one of the fastest growing cities. I went to see my buddy when I was there. They built like a lagoon. They built this huge lagoon and like man-made lagoon park and stuff for this housing development. It was amazing. Everybody's got golf carts. It's one of those neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Everybody's within it's like a community. New York Spanish teacher in trouble for sucking companion's nipple during a Zoom class. I'm assuming the lady was lesbian because they didn't, but they kept saying partner, and you know, it's not like I don't see a lot of women sucking on men's nipples.
That's what I assumed. I don't know why, yeah. But
a New York City high school Spanish teacher is in hot water for sucking on a companion's nipple as students watched. And why wouldn't they?
Well, you know, I minored in Spanish in college, and I grew up with a Mexican stepfather. And I can tell you that that is an exercise to perfect the rolling of the R's. It works, man.
Yeah.
I sucked a lot of nipples to be able to say burrito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to learn to roar the R's, you must suck on the teepee people.
Right.
And now I can listen to this. Ready? I can say the longest word in Spanish, in Mexican Spanish. You could just hear the nipple.
Oh, yeah. That sounded like a motorboating.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. I'm getting excited here.
See, you're playing Chris, with me right now, and you're denying that you like it.
I love it. You kidding? I want you. I'm gonna record that. I'm gonna ask my producer to send me a clip of just that.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to my headphones while I go to my old cafeteria lady's house and drink beer and watch her porn. Amanda Fletcher, a 14-year veteran as a teacher, started fooling around in full view of her Columbia Secondary School students during a class September, the Department of Education said. While she's supposed to be teaching class, Fletcher engaged in a clearly inappropriate and unprofessional act, they said. Kids, listen, all these kids sleeping with teachers and stuff, you know.
Well, I mean, what is it? So sleep with the students, don't sleep with the students. Can we get like a clear message here? Like what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm all for it. I was always with older women when I was young. I was, I had three older brothers. So I always had I was like 15 and dating a 17, 18, 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was a waiter at Wags, which is like a Denny's. I was dating this married chick who was like 27.
All right.
First girl I ever made out with who smoked cigarettes.
Wow.
That was a good experience.
Did you ever chupa el pezón?
El pezón?
El pezón.
I'm Spanish.
Chupando el pezón.
Sucking on the
nipple.
Oh, el pezón. I was going to ask you a pezón. Oh, yes. And she had big ones. They were huge.
Ugh.
Lovely. I was going to ask you guys if you like big nipples, but I want to keep this family clean. Okay.
You just asked us.
You did. Short answer is no. So,
if they produce milk, then they're nipples, and I don't discriminate the nipple. Okay.
Yeah.
What makes us mammals?
Yeah. Is there a deal breaker when it comes to a woman?
There are tons of them.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, I'm neurotic, but
smoking. That's what I mean, like little things, like smoking. Like I remember I dated this girl back years ago and she was so hot, but she had bad breath, like on a basis. That's a deal breaker.
A girl
who likes to fart in front of you even though you're not been together a long time.
Yeah, there's definitely time limit on that.
I was always cool with that. I was like, that's a sign of comfortability.
Yeah.
That's
I left the girl where we were
flocking. I heard a story where some girl was like, and he came over and he slept over. It was like our first time sleeping together. And then I go over by the bathroom and he's taking a dump with the door open. And I'm like, this guy. And it's she ended up really liking him because of that.
Oh, wow. That's what turned her over to him, huh?
Yeah, because like he just didn't care.
Huh.
Wow,
funny. You know, that
and
could
that
be
guy
like...
was me, and my lady is in the other room. No.
Oh,
was it?
Oh, that'd have been cool.
I heard some story about that though.
Eric's new stage name: Eric Shit Don't Stink Schwartz.
Yeah,
my door's always open.
That's awesome. Our next story: a woman says she caught boyfriend cheating when he accidentally sent video instead of photo. I guess the guy said, he's like, honey, I'm at the hotel. I'm good. And he takes a quick shot, but he didn't realize it was the live feed. You know, when you do the live on your Apple,
the live photo,
it takes like a few seconds.
Right.
And I guess towards he took the photo. He thought it was a still clip. It turns out, as you watch the live, the woman jumps into the bed just as it's ending.
I love you, motherfucker.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you don't take those chances. You know?
No,
I mean?
You don't. What is wrong with you?
I'm not condoning cheating. All right.
Yeah, really, oh yeah. Also, don't cheat, honey. Yeah, just want to make that clear. Yeah. But
don't cheat. Because I've had people ask me that. You're on the road all the time. Don't you get urges and stuff like that? I go, there's nothing better in my life that if someone knocks on that door, if the phone rings, you know what I mean? If an email comes in, I don't have to worry, you know, that it's going to be somebody sharing something I did.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to go back and answer that kind of shit. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah. So, you know, have you ever been caught? Have you ever cheated and been caught?
I've never cheated. So, never cheated, never had to be caught, but never caught anyone cheating on me. I've caught people cheating on other people. That's always fun. That's always,
what do you do? Do you tell the person?
It depended. Like, I think for one, it was like, I knew the guy, but I was like, I don't know the relationship. And I was like, this is not my circus, not my monkey. I'm not dealing with this. With one, it was like a guy and he was like dating this girl that we used to be friends with. And I was like, hey, come on, dude, man, don't be an ass. Cause this is going to come out and then I'm going to get in trouble for not saying anything. Yeah. So knock it off.
They find they associate you to it. Why did you tell me?
Yeah.
And what would you do if you found out somebody you knew was a couple and one of them was cheating, Eric?
I can't remember who it is, but I knew somebody who did that. I can't remember who it is, thankfully. But it's weird because you can't, you know, that the guy's your friend and you mm-hmm. can't spill the beans, but you got to tell him, like, I just tell him, like, I remember telling him, like, hey, maybe you should just break up. Like, it's not really fair, you know?
Yeah.
But you can only do certain things, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be tough if the guy loves the girl and you find out she's cheating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh god, he's gonna be heartbroken when he finds out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. I knew the guy who was cheating on his girlfriend, but the guy was a friend of mine. I can't even remember who it is. It's been so long. But yeah, there was one time there was a guy who wanted me to cheat on his girlfriend with him, or wanted me to sleep with his girlfriend.
Oh, well, that's not cheating. No, I mean,
yeah, no, you know, but it's cheating. Yeah, yeah.
Are you talking about a cuckold moment? He wanted to watch you have, or was
he didn't want to watch? He just was like, it was weird.
That or he wanted you to try to hit. Like, I had a friend one time ask me years ago, I want you to try to hit on my girlfriend. And to see if she goes for it, because he was wanted to test her.
Maybe that's what he was doing.
And I'm like, dude,
maybe, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, that'd be great. I'm gonna hit on her. Next thing you know, you're knee deep. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Just like, well, she said yes.
Yeah.
You should break up with her, Bill. I'm gonna start banging her now. Yeah. A Michigan man builds poop wall after dispute with neighbor.
I didn't see this one.
I didn't see that either.
This is the one I just added. A man has reportedly retaliated against a neighbor with a cow dung in a small Michigan town. Wayne Lambert claims a 250-foot wall of manure was erected following a property line dispute we had with a fellow farm owner last year.
How big?
I mean, what sucks about a poop wall is that half of it's on your side.
Right, exactly. I just think, like, the dedication, you got to hate someone to be mashing that thing in and getting like, oh, I need more water for the left side. And just, I mean, you gotta hate somebody.
You gotta be in contact with it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that is a good point. Like, you know, he's the one who had to touch it and do it. The other guy just had to see it. I mean, it's a 250 foot shit wall.
Yeah.
I imagine you may have to use heavy equipment for that kind of work. You know, so if you're in a tractor, you know, with a big crane putting a big dump in the shit on there, I guess that's okay. But you're right.
Resale value on that tractor.
Yeah.
No one's going to buy that.
You know what I love about that though is that, like, you know, part of like neighbor disputes, like I saw one about like this guy like bought the house next door to his ex-wife and he constructed like a giant middle finger statue. What I love about that is that, like, is the element of surprise. You know, it's like, oh, that's like, that's just one unveiling. Here's my statue. This guy, like, you know, the other guy saw him when he was like way early into the project and he was like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm building a poop wall. And he just kept going all the way down the line, 250 feet worth. And he was like, I know the joke has kind of waned, but I still think it's got legs. I'm going to keep going with this.
He just let the neighbor do it just to make him handle the
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who's Frank and who? Like,
I'm gonna wait to call the police on this.
Yeah exactly. I'm gonna wait till you're done. Call the cops. You have to take it down that afternoon. Like, now you've got 500 feet of poop under your fingernails.
Yeah, I'm
gonna wait till you really have, lost here.
I'm gonna wait till you have cholera and then diphtheria, and then I'm gonna call the police.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the guy walked out there. The neighbor walked out there with Clipsy on his nose.
Clippy.
Oh yeah.
His nose, and he said, "Hey, I'm." You better not build any more of this wall.
Yeah.
You better not build any more of this wall. And he walked away.
Looks like you're trying to exact revenge. Can I help?
Yeah. That's awesome. Oh, they got a photo of it too, if you look at it.
Oh, okay. Drop it in the messenger, because I gotta see this thing.
Is it textured like one piece? Like, did he make it artistically like realistic?
It's not like you put a lot of work into it. I mean, it just looks like a wall of just, you know,
it's like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
it's
too bad.
Shit wall. It's definitely a piece of shit wall.
But how dope would that be if he actually like crafted it to look, you know, with the ridges and just one snaking piece.
Right. That's how people, you know, cool. People find their passions like that. You know, some ladies walking by like, can you do my backsplash? Like that, that looks great.
Same material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a renewable resource.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listen, I've had issues with neighbors, but all right. Our last story, the guy called Sperminator, who's close to fathering 100 children, says he says, don't focus on me. You know, these people that donate their sperm, I didn't realize this, and I read into the story, but this guy has donated his sperm. He has over 50 children already, you know, scattered all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they could do that. Could you imagine you donate so much sperm that you actually have 100 kids around the world?
Wasn't this like a Vince Vaughn movie like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
I never watched it, but it's, you know, sounded like right up his alley.
A New York college professor, Ari Nagel, has fathered more than 80 children, has more on the way.
A college professor? What's your problem? I think that at that point it's just the love of the game. Like, clearly, like, money's not the issue. I think you just have a passion.
That'd be funny if they all showed up in his class.
Yeah, exactly.
He's ensuring his future as a professor.
Uh-huh. You look familiar. 44-year-old educator has made headlines in the past for his frequent sperm donations, which has earned him the nickname Sperminator. From Natural Tabloids, he will be providing a life update and new interview with Dr. Mehmet Oz. Dr. Oz.
Mm. Sperminator, I'll come again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a dumb pun.
That was right.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll forgive you.
Yeah, that's not bad. But hey, that's all we have time for on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. We're gonna end on the Sperminator joke.
Wow.
Yeah. Why not?
I should have ended stronger.
Oh.
Well, you know, I started this thing off in a loafy mode. Like, you know, I'm feeling down. I'm in pain with my, what's it called again?
Your psoas.
My psoas. And I'm in pain. But you guys spruced things up, and I'm glad you guys got to meet. Cause, you know, hopefully you guys can work together at some point.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah, man. I'll see when I'm up there in the
Bay.
Yeah.
When are you Cubs?
June 13th.
I'm out of town all June. That sucks, but I'm sure we will we'll run into each other.
I'll be back. You'll be around. I'll be
yes,
back.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Hit me up. There's so many great local shows too that you can pop on.
Oh, really?
Like, we have such an amazing scene, and now that things are opening back up, I mean, you can come for, you know, if you've got a weekend at one of the clubs, you can fill out your entire week before just doing really cool shows.
That's awesome
that they do it and let you do it. I've had some situations where you want to do that and they say, well, you can't work these other clubs.
Oh yeah. I just got back from one. They were like 100-mile radius, can't do it.
I'm trying to fill my, but it's okay if the club books you Wednesday through Saturday or something. At least you're filling in the week.
Right. It's like one show Friday, one show Saturday.
Yeah. Like I did the comedy, Cactus Comedy Classic over there at Stir Crazy in Phoenix, Glendale area. Uh-huh. Really cool area. And it's a Friday, Saturday night. And there's a couple other places, like they have a couple other places. Maybe you can do a Thursday here, you can do that. I'm like, oh, that makes it worth, you know, the flight and stuff like that. Speaking of gigs, you mentioned some. Why don't you share with us, Eric, some of the things that are coming up?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm kicking off my tour called the Feel Good Tour. Because I feel like that's what everyone wanted. We've had enough bad times, so let's just feel good and have a good time. So that starts in Tampa, May 16th. I'm going to be in San Antonio, Austin, Paris, Texas, Fresno, hottest housing market in the country.
Yeah.
Los Angeles, Huntington Beach, and San Francisco. And more are coming soon.
Paul, so you said
you can find info for that on my website, ericschwartzlive.com.
There you go. Paul?
So I'll be hitting the road in June. I'll be in Little Rock and then Tulsa the weekend after. And then I'll be headlining the Fort Wayne Comedy Club in Indiana on the 18th and 19th. And then the following weekend, I'll be at the Drop Comedy Club in South Bend. All that stuff is on my website, paulconyers.com.
Very cool. This Thursday, I'm going to be at the Punchline competing in the World Series of Comedy.
In Atlanta, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
May 28th and 29th, I'm going to be at the Greenville Comedy Zone the week I move there. So that's going to be a nice...
Oh, that's a nice welcome. Hope they have like a basket of goodies for you.
Yeah, nice basket of goodies, right?
Yeah.
Got to go to the local schools and see what the food ladies look like.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Because, you know, they're giving it up.
I hear you. Serving more than chocolate milk these days.
Aside from that, guys, please follow our show at Wake Up Dougie on Twitter and the Wake Up Label Dougie Show on Instagram. Follow me at Funny Fiduciary on Twitter and Dougie Dangerous on Instagram. Other than that, guys, thank you so much for being on the show. Appreciate your time. And you guys keep doing what you're doing, man. You're both funny bastards.
Oh,
funny son of a bitch.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, man.
You got it, fellas. And Chris, are we ready to take this away?
That we are.
All right. And we'll be off for a couple weeks while I'm moving, by the way, guys. We'll probably post some just the clips from last year, because I didn't get to post any clips from Harry Basil's interview, which was great last week. I had to interview Harry. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Harry Basil from the Laugh Factory in Vegas posted somebody took a Sharpie to something in the green room. You guys see that post?
No.
Somebody used a Sharpie and wrote on part of the green room, a chair or something. I don't know what it was. And they got cameras everywhere. So they're going to find out who the culprit is.
Oh.
Imagine you finally get into work, one of the greatest clubs in the country, and then you're going to lose your gig because you thought you'd be funny with a Sharpie. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Just can't vandalize anymore. It sucks.
Yeah, this is...
What kind of world is this?
We're going to find out who Banksy is in like a week, I swear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be
a matter of time.
Well, that's it, fellas. Thank you so much. God bless. And guys, we'll be back in a couple weeks with all new shows.
All right. Hey, safe travels, man. Good luck.
Yeah, have a good move.
Take care, guys.
See you guys
later.